Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Well, don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we welcome you into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live in the Kia Studios with you tonight. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you until 8 o'clock tonight, then we'll get you ready for Hawks basketball. Pre-game with Mike Connie. He and Steve Holman will be on the broadcast tonight as the Hawks start second half action. Officially the start of the second half for the Hawks as they are in San Antonio tonight. Streaming online at 929thegame.com. That's where you catch us live, replays of the shows. Breaking sports news, our finest moments, our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your device, whatever you carry, a phone, a tablet, a boombox, a turntable, whatever you got. Put it on there. You can always catch us live on the go. Social media is all at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The best way to follow this particular show is through our personal Twitter handles. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is producing the show tonight, hanging out with me behind the glass, and he gets to run the Hawks tonight. He is Jarvis at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So several things we're going to go over with you here for this hour. We'll start with a couple of things. One is the surprise that was Travis Etienne deciding to come back for his final season and bypassing the NFL. The first player in ACC, or sorry, the first Clemson player in school history to record consecutive 1,500-yard rushing seasons. You know, he was my preseason pick for the Heisman Trophy this year. I had Etienne. I know Randy went Trevor Lawrence. I went Travis Etienne, second-team All-American for the second year in a row. And, boy, when you talk about him coming back now and what that means for Clemson next year, whew. I tell you one thing, they ain't going to lose again. They ain't going to lose. If they lose, it's going to be in the playoff or national championship because with Trevor back and Etienne back. As of right now, T. Higgins is the only underclassman that declared to go to the draft out of that that Clemson team. So they're going to be they were, even without Etienne, they were going to be the preseason number one. I think after beating Ohio State, they were going to be looked at as the preseason number one. Now even a bigger fair, because I think it'll be Clemson number one, Ohio State number two. And then three, I don't know. I mean, you know, some people talking about Alabama. You know, they could be three. I don't know. I mean, it certainly feels like in college football, after Clemson and Ohio State, there's a real drop-off of some of those teams. You get to the bottom half of the top 10, and you're probably looking at, you know, Texas, Notre Dame in that mix, Oklahoma, Alabama, you know, maybe LSU. Maybe Georgia now, with Jamie Newman in the fold, is looked at, you know, as a top 10 team. So, you know, a lot of shakeout there. But, you know, one thing is for sure, the two top teams are no-brainers and no doubt. And I think the clear-cut number one now is Clemson by a good bit. And the Travis Etienne thing, quite shocking that he did that. Mel Kiper had him rated as his number four running back coming into the draft. DeAndre Swift, by the way, is considered the top running back prospect coming out in this year's draft. But certainly a huge feather in the cap of Clemson to be able to get him back. So, he'll have another monster season. I was trying to see where he ranks all time on the career rushing yards list, if he's anywhere within striking distance or anything like that. I'm guessing he's probably in that 3,000-some-odd range. I'd have to look that up. Oh, there he is, 134th. He has 4,038 yards. So if he runs for another 1,500 yards, like he's done each of the last 2 years, 1,500 puts him at 5,500. That would put him, he'd be somewhere real close to the top 10. Archie Griffin is 10 at 5,589. Travis Prentice is at 5,596 at number 9, and Royce Freeman, 5,621 at number 8. So he very well could end up in the top 10 all time in rushing yards for a college career. So that's no slight feat. That tells you how good and how productive he has been. So the other thing I want to just kind of mention here, obviously we talked about the Hawks as they start the second half of the year. I'm not sure if people remember or not that the Hawks actually won 29 games last year. They actually were a 29-win team. And when you look at this Hawks team right now, and yes, no doubt about it, they've played much better as of late, but only at 9-32. Now, can they go 20-21 in the second half of the season and at least match last year's win total? Yeah, I think, staying healthy, I think that they can absolutely do that. But there's all the questions, can they stay healthy? Is there burnout factor? What happens here? There's a lot of questions that go along with that. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, they could do all that. Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, if you could just simulate the game on NBA 2K and nobody ever gets hurt, yeah, it probably is a no-brainer that something like that that could happen. The Hawks have played 22 games on the road to only 19, so not a crazy split. I mean, only three more games on the road than at home. So it's not like they have like this massive shift of home games versus road games in the second half of the season. I mean, it's just about break even at this point on the year. But if they're not at least 29 wins, is that a disappointment? And people are going to say, well, it's the injuries or it's this or that. Yeah, but that's part of the game, man. I mean, I get that, John Collins gets suspended and gets hurt or this, but that's part of the game, man. That's the things that as a franchise you have to learn that you're going to have those things. I mean, with all due respect, last 2 years, John Collins always misses a bunch of time. That's nothing new. So to have guys hurt, it's just kind of par for the course. And in Collins' case, of course, he had the 25-game suspension, but that's his fault. That's on him. That you can't just say, well, if they had this, yeah, but he broke the rules. If you break the rules and get punished for it, then guess what? You're gonna have a player down. So I don't know. I mean, what happens if they are only about an 18 or 20 win team? Does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? But I think we all thought at least that there would be improvement in the record. I think we understand improvement in players and things like that, but I think we thought where it would manifest itself is in the win column. And right now, it's not doing that. Right now, obviously, on pace to only win 18 games after a 29-win season. And I know a lot of us, and I'm in that boat as well, thought, maybe they could challenge for an eighth spot in the playoffs. Maybe they could be an eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. That wasn't necessarily my expectation was, hey, they need to be a playoff team this year. But it certainly was a possibility considering that they were a 29-win team last year. And they didn't finish with the worst record, even in the Eastern Conference. So I think we kind of hoped that it would build and would manifest itself, in a matter of wins and things like that. Not that we're expecting the Hawks in this season to be, a 50-win team or something, ridiculous, but maybe they could head toward 500. Maybe they could get to striking distance, within 500. And of course, it's kind of all gone sideways this year. 9-32, They have the worst record in the NBA, I should say. Yeah, I guess technically Golden State has the worst record in the NBA by half a game because they're 9-33 to where the Hawks are 9-32. So they're not the worst. They don't have the worst record in the NBA by half a game different. They have it over the Golden State Warriors out there. So obviously the key, seeing their core, Herter, Trae Young, Collins, be healthy and play together and get more reps. And hopefully this is obviously the learning curve of Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter. Those guys now have already played more games than they ever played in college. They're already in uncharted water when you talk about how many games that they've actually played in a season in their college career. We're at 41 right now. They've never had to do that before. So how they hold up and what kind of sea legs that they are able to keep for them as the season moves on and get game experience and figure out how to push your way through the season and stay healthy. All right, when we get back, we're going to play a clip from Allison Mastrangelo of WSB-TV, who had a chance to talk with Josh Donaldson and thought a couple of revealing things. And there's a couple of ways you can take this. We'll play the clip. We'll react. Then you can decide as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out on a Friday. Live from the Kia Studios. It's the John Chukwa Show. Hanging out with you till 8 o'clock tonight. 404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter. He is at JarvisD90. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. So, Allison Mastrangelo, who is one of the sports reporters at WSB-TV, right down the street here from us, just a couple of blocks away, a few blocks away from where our studios are, had a chance to catch up with Josh Donaldson. It looked like he was at some kind of golf tournament today. I think he was kind of doing some news and media rounds. And she put out a clip, and part of it, we're going to let you hear the clip here in just a second, but to set it up, she asked him about his contract status and, of course, all the things that we had heard about Donaldson leading into his. Here is what she asked, and here is the answer that he gave.
Well, I think it was, it was tough to make that decision, but ultimately it wasn't in the same realm for me as far as financially was concerned. And ultimately, I've worked, this is going to be my 13th year in the big leagues, and I've been on a lot of one-year contracts. And, the Twins were in a position to where they could offer me a lengthy deal to where I thought it was right for me and my family. And, ultimately, that's what the decision came down to. And I've hit really well there at their stadium, and I think their team's going to be really good. And I think that their lineup is going to be, or our lineup is going to be something pretty special.
So obviously the part that has caught everybody's attention is the fact that the offer wasn't in the realm financially. Now, I asked this question the other night. Obviously the Braves are not going to tell us exactly what they offered. I mean, Josh Donaldson just told you right there, he wasn't going to tell you specific. We know what Minnesota gave, but he's not going to tell you specific what the Braves offer. We're not going to hear what the Braves had to offer. I don't think there would be a reason for Josh Donaldson to say that it wasn't in the realm unless it wasn't in the realm. You know what I mean? I don't think he made that up. I think he tried to be as judicious as possible about what words he chose and how he went about saying it. And that was, I don't think he wanted to badmouth the Braves. I think he enjoyed his time here. Braves are a very rock steady, rock solid organization. So, but it is interesting to hear him. And I wonder if they didn't try. Well, there's two ways you could look at this, sort of the good and sort of the bad, okay? The bad part of it is that they lowballed him, that they didn't give him the 4 years, and they didn't give him the per year kind of money that he was looking for. So they lowballed him. The other way you could read this, if you want to try to find the glass half full option about all of this, is that they were doing their due diligence in trying to look at Chris Bryant or Nolan Arenado, and Josh Donaldson was kind of the backup plan, not necessarily the first choice that they had. I would love to believe that, but I believe the first. I believe the former, not the latter. Okay? I think the Braves probably lowballed him an offer. We were being sold, okay, on the idea of, well, you know, if they sign Josh Donaldson, they're going to be over their budgeted payroll. They're going to be about $15 million over their budgeted payroll. Okay, and? So they're not going to be the Kansas City Royals anymore. Clap, clap, you know, I mean, give you the golf clap, and we'll move on from all of that. So, like I said, you can read into that what you want, but I think it's very interesting the words that he chose and how he chose them, because Josh Donaldson doesn't have any ill will for the Braves. He doesn't have any grievances against him. He had nothing but good things to say about being here and playing here. And by the way, him playing here, the Braves, you know, Double A doing what he did, I mean, that's what brought life into him, and that's what allowed him to be able to make this big, you know, chunk of money where he's getting, you know, just about $100 million for the next 4 years. It doesn't make the Braves look good, okay? And I'm sure they'll have their PR and their spin machines. We put out a fair and competitive offer based upon what the market dictated, okay? You know, the other thing he talked about, I think in the clip was, didn't he say like it was about a day or two before the the deal with Minnesota that the Braves made their offer? So I don't know. I don't know what to make of all of that. But here's what I believe. I believe Josh in this scenario, if you're asking me who do I believe, what the Braves do or what Josh Donaldson says, I believe Josh Donaldson. I think the Braves probably lowballed him. Now, maybe that's because they thought they had a better option available. Okay, I don't have a problem with that if you thought you had a better option. But I just don't think that they liked the deal that they saw and weren't going to go 4 years. And this goes back to, you know, because this is what I keep hearing. Well, you can't sign him for 4 years. He could be bad the last couple of years. And I understand that. And I get that. Okay? But we're at the point that I keep stressing this over and over and over again. We're at the point where it's got to be about winning the World Series this year. Not building toward, not moving forward, not trying to get to winning the World Series now. Striking while the iron is hot with the roster and the group of guys that you have. And I don't get the sense, and listen, I'm not trying to take credit or whatever like that, but while a whole bunch of you were sold on the idea of what Liberty Media and this is going to be different and Double A and all this kind of stuff, and I'm not completely blaming Double A, okay, but here's what I would tell you. If there really is those kinds of financial restrictions, and I'm Double A, I'm going out in public about it. Well, I may get fired. Okay. Guess what happens eventually if you can't win at all? You know, you can get fired. Of course, then again, I say that. Probably not here, though. You know, some of the same guys that have been running the organization for the last 30 years are still roaming around the hallways of that building to continue to run it, and the lineage of who sits in the dugout has been the same since, you know, Ronald Reagan was president. Well, that's changed. So it doesn't it certainly, at least from the surface aspect of the clip, it doesn't make you feel better as a Braves fan about where they're at. And like I said, I don't know at this point what their plan is. I think they're going to try to sign a corner outfielder. I think that's more of where they're looking versus they're going to be in the trade market. Because, you know, trading means you got to give up assets and control and this, that, and the other. So I don't think that they are going to be in the market to do a bunch of prospect moving and trade. And I think they will sign somebody, you know, of lower tier. We talked about, you know, we talked about, you know, Nick Castellanos, Marcell Ozuna. Are those viable options? Well, I mean, are they better than what you got? Yeah. I mean, would I rather have one of those guys than you know, Adam Duvall? Yeah. But that, to me, isn't enough to tell you that I believe now that the Braves all of a sudden are ready to go win the World Series. If you're not telling me we're not going to get one of those kinds of guys, I don't know. And I tell you, you know, do I expect the Braves win 97 games? Probably not. That's a pretty big number to achieve. But they have won over 90. They've won 90, 97 games each of the last 2 years. I don't expect a huge. I mean, listen, if you told me they went down to like 91, 92 wins, okay. All right, they took a step back. But if you're telling me they're going down to like 87, 86 wins or something like that, that's a big fail. That's a really big fail. I don't have to have 97, but that first number needs to start with a 9. That's the expectation now, and what has been set, and where this team is, and where this franchise is that I don't want to hear anything that starts with an 8. A 9 is the first number, should be the minimum expectation about your win total for the regular season, because that's what they've established, that's what their talent tells us they have. And if they're not playing at the level of what their talent tells us that they have, then there is a problem. Whether that's the manager, the general manager who put the team together, somebody. So this is a pretty fascinating, you know, we joke about all the time in sports how fast things move. You know, 25, I think it's 25 days now, I believe. I think I saw Grant's tweet, said 25 days. That'll be over in the blink of an eye. Is it a long time in some ways? Yeah, because you can do a lot over a 3-week period. There's no question about the fact that in 3 weeks you can put together some deal, you know, some kind of deal and negotiate and take care of your business. But that time is going to slip by very, very fast, just like it always does. You know, when you talk about 25 days, I mean, you know, that's nothing. That's nothing. And that's why I keep joking, you know, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Time's running thin. You know, this is the kind of move and this is the kind of situation where you need to have everybody set going in the season. Not, well, what kind of platoon here, what kind of platoon there. We'll reevaluate the marketplace when we get to the All-Star break. No, man. It's time to step up and play like you're one of the big boys, you know, in Major League Baseball. And not play, you know, Monopoly and roll dice and see what happens, you know, as we get toward the All-Star break and something breaks. When the All-Star break comes along, that's, you know, we're adding to our strength. Not are we filling a void or a need, you know? That's what this is supposed to be, and I understand. I'm not saying that every team is perfect or flawless, but you understand what I'm saying. So, interesting comments from Josh Donaldson. I don't know what to make of all of it, but it certainly didn't paint the Braves' offer in a very positive or resoundingly good light. All right, get some thoughts about the conference championship games on Sunday and what's bugging Chuckery. Somebody's come out and said that baseball's been cheating for years. Maybe Chuckery does. Maybe Chuckery was a little bit right about all this kind of stuff. We'll discuss all that next in the Kia Studio Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on a Friday night, Friday night, going up to Hawks basketball at the top of the hour. Hawks pregame at 8 o'clock with Mike Conney. Steve Holman will be on the call at 8:30 against San Antonio Spurs. Second half of the season about to get itself underway. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMCH316. He is at Jarvis D90. We'll get to what's bugging Chuckery here in just a couple of minutes. Whoop. Easy sport. Premature firing over there. Yeah, I understand. Listen, you get older, things like that happen. You know, sometimes you can't control everything. So, conference championship games. We did talk to Jeremy Fowler yesterday about those, and a couple of intriguing matchups, especially in the NFC, because you have two former Falcon coaches that are going to be coaching in the game. You know, I really do believe that if San Francisco controls the line of scrimmage, like they did against the Vikings, that they're not going to lose. And I know Aaron Rodgers, and I know Green, and I understand, you know, I got it. They got a really good defense. I get it. Man, you control the line of scrimmage in football, you're a hard team to beat. You don't have to be the most talented, because if you control the line of scrimmage on offense and defense, it is tough sledding for that team. And that was what the deal was with Minnesota, is that, you know, six sacks on Kirk Cousins and their offensive line just control. You do that, it's tough to lose. I just, if they control it like that, I don't see them losing out there. I still like San Francisco in this game. If I have to pick, I think I do like San Francisco in this game, so I will take them. Listen, I keep betting against Tennessee, and they keep proving me wrong, but I do think this is the week where they go down. I just think Kansas City has too much. Kansas City playing much better than they were at the beginning of the season. Their defense has been much better, and I just think they have too much firepower. You saw just even, you know, say what you will, but getting down 24 to nothing and not panicking and coming back from all of that, it doesn't matter if they got help or didn't get help. The fact is, you know, they didn't panic, and they found a way to get back and win that football game. So I like Kansas City at home. I think the good fortunes of Tennessee come to an end. But, boy, I tell you, the way Derrick Henry's played the first two games out there, I mean, if he goes off, I mean, you know, and they can control the clock and they can keep their offense off the field, you know, it's one of those kind of anything can happen games. By the way, I didn't see the schedule. Which is the later of the two games, Jarvis? Which game is there? What's the early game? What's the late game? I didn't see if the NFC is late or early this year. You got it. You got it pulled up there. As to what time? Okay, so the NFC will be the late game at 6:40. So that'll be done like about what, midnight? At least it won't be the national championship game. It might be done, you know, before the next day. Before the next day, sorry, before Monday. It'll be finished before Monday. How about that? All right, speaking of being finished, let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, what's the thing I've been keep repeating about this whole Major League Baseball videotaping stealing signs scandal? This has been part of the culture and the fabric of baseball forever. We talked about the rumors that Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world in 54 in the polo fields, that the Giants stole the signs from the Dodgers, and Thompson knew what was coming on that pitch. It's part of the fabric. And you guys like to say, well, cheating's not right. And I said, everybody cheats. Well, no, it don't. Okay. Exhibit 57. White Sox pitcher, former Indians pitcher. That's a whole other story about his tenure with the Indians when he got the biggest free agent pitcher contract of all time and did nothing. I think he won 19 games for him. But I'm not angry. Former White Sox pitcher, Black Jack McDowell, Cy Young winner. Here's what he had. What did you say this was? WFNZ? Yeah, in Charlotte. Was on with him talking about the cheating scandal. Here's what he had to say about a certain manager and a certain team from a long time ago.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office, and a camera zoomed in on the catcher. Okay, I'm gonna whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There's that. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the team of people doing steroids. Yet he's still in the game making $500,000. You know, no one's gonna go after that. It's the stuff's getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook, and, you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, what's going on. Everybody knows. Everybody who's been around the game knows all this stuff. Why all of a sudden it became a big thing, I have no idea.
So, lots of things to chop up there. Number one, What have I said for years about Tony Fraud Russa? Okay? And baseball's got to clean itself up. Why do you think he's in the Hall of Fame? Is he in the Hall of Fame because Greg Luzinski and Ron Kittle won a division one year? Or is he in the Hall of Fame because he managed the Bash Brothers? He's a fraud. He's a phony. I've told you this for years. Keep your head buried in the sand. The second thing, what'd he talk about? Everybody cheats. They all cheat, guys. You're living in some fantasy world if you think they all don't cheat. They all cheat in some form or another. The difference is, one, the level at which you cheat. Two is how smart you are at covering it up. And three is, did you get caught? But pretend, oh, it's the moral. Yeah. What I said before, the most corrupt, dirty, filthy sporting exhibition in the world is the Olympics, which is supposed to be the antithesis of everything that's supposed to be, you know, in bad. And it's dirtier than everything. Doping and judging and, you know, scandal and kickbacks. Everybody cheats. Wrap your arms around it. Take it to the bank. Live with it and figure out how to get around it. Yeah, but that's not right. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. It's reality. You know, if you get your right hand chopped off in a farming accident, guess what? It doesn't really matter what the reasons are. The end of the day, the net result is you get called lefty the rest of your life. Got it? And let me tell you, think Jack McDowell's going to be the only guy, just the one lone voice in the world that's going to say, yeah, there's shenanigans that go on in baseball with everybody. It's how it works, folks. Doesn't matter if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. It's the culture. It's what's always been done. It's part of it. Somehow the Astros went so far over the top, they got themselves caught because one of their former players decided to speak up about it. Usually how these things happen. By the way, thank you, Blackjack McDowell, for confirming what a big fraud and phony Tony La Russa is, which I've told you for years. I've told you that since day one on this station. I've had guys on this station that I've told that to, reporters and stuff, that vote for the Hall of Fame about that guy. All right, we'll get back. Time for the Love TKO. Yes, yes. We'll calm it down for the Love TKO right before we get to Hawks basketball. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.